Extension number 8974, rule number 1.
Mr. Cliff, reel 1. When were you born, Mr. Cliff?
1920.
What date was that?
3rd of August.
And where were you born?
Kennington, London.
What did your father do for a living?
He was partially blind, but he had a job, what he termed the Office of Works. That could be the ministry or some ministry.
And what kind of work did he do?
That I couldn't really say.
And how old were you when you left school?
Fourteen.
And I think you said that you went into an orphanage.
Yes, I was in an orphanage, yes, at Reading.
So how did you come to be in the Navy?
When I'd finished my schooling, you stayed on maybe for about 12 months in the home, and at term 15 invariably they sent you maybe farming or the forces, and I was sent into the Royal Navy.
Was this Barnardo's?
I called it Barnardo's, but since I found out it's the Waifs and Strays Society, now known, I believe, as the Sunshine Homes. Sunshine Children's Homes, yeah.
So didn't they give you any choice about going into the Navy?
No, I had no option, you know. I wanted to go to the Army, but my father was had experience of the Army, and he said, no way. The Navy or the Air Force, it's up to you. And I passed my exams and went to a traineeship Warspite, laid off of Grays, Essex.
What was the initial training like?
Oh, very strict. Hard.
In what way?
You wasn't allowed to smoke, that's obvious. Scrubbing decks with bare feet, all weathers, winter, summer, bare feet and long-handled scrubbers and holy stone in the deck.
Was the discipline harder or easier than in the home?
Oh, it's stricter. Stricter than the home.
Did the boys resent it, or did they accept the discipline?
Well, we had to accept it because we had no option, really. You know, you couldn't retaliate against the system as it was then, you know.
Was there corporal punishment?
Yes, if you deserved it. For a serious offence, you would get corporal punishment.
Did you ever get it?
No. Not until I went to HMS Ganges.
What happened there?
Well, you're in a mess with people in our own age group, and if one person was caught smoking, the whole mess suffered. And one punishment was going over this 300-foot mast in pyjamas and bare feet early in the morning, winter or summer. Went up over Devil's Elbow, which comes out where the crow's nest is, and then got up and then came down again. Of course, underneath you've got the safety net. But you had 2 weeks of that if one was caught smoking.
But were you ever beaten?
No. There was a person, a petty officer at that time at Shotley, known as the Shotley Terror. He took the size 13 in boots, so it was said. Very big man he was. And it wasn't uncommon to hear that a person had been beaten over the back with a broom handle, and it had broken. The broom handle had broken on the person, the individual's back. But what offence he committed for that, I don't know.
Did people hate him, the Shotley Terror?
Oh, yes. He was fear. Everybody feared him.
Did people think he was fair or not?
I don't know. I really can't say. But he put the fear of God into you.
Did any of the boys fail to get through the training?
No. It was all for the Royal Navy.
Were you proud to be in the Royal Navy or not?
I was.
Were you proud to be in the Royal Navy?
Yes, but not until I'd actually got a ship, my first ship. Then I really stuck my chest out and I was proud, yeah.
What was the ship?
HMS Arethusa.
What kind of a ship was she?
She was in a third cruiser squadron, which was a cruiser, of course, consisting of four ships, the squadron was, and we went from from Chatham and we joined the Met Fleet. We had the flag captain on board, who was at that time Captain Vine, who was renowned for his marvellous feat in as much as liberating the prisoners on the Altmark when they boarded the Altmark. He was then, of course, Vice Admiral Vian.
This was later on in the war.
Oh yes.
Well, what were your duties in the Mediterranean? I think that you said you were connected with the Spanish Civil War.
We used to do patrols. I think it lasted about a fortnight. And we was running refugees from maybe Alicante or Cadiz, or even Barcelona. We was running them from there to Marseille in the south of France.
And what condition were these refugees in?
Oh, appalling, some of them. Especially the children. You could see on their faces the look of shock, of sadness, of losing probably an aunt or an uncle. And we rigged up swings on the upper deck, which we'd never done before in the Royal Navy, being very strict, you know. And made them as comfortable as we could, I suppose. They had very little belongings with them. Probably lucky to be alive, some of them.
Do they seem hungry?
Yes, they, I wouldn't say starved as such, but they certainly ate their food very quickly. Made short work of it.
Were they in rags?
No. But the clothing wasn't all that clean at the same time, you know.
Apart from transporting the refugees, did you have any other duties in connection with the Spanish Civil War?
No, that was about it, I suppose.
Now, coming on to the declaration of war, when Chamberlain declared war on Germany, did that take you by surprise or not?
No, I think the majority of the crew on board give a loud cheer, and Captain Vine at that time gave the ship's company what we call 48 hours gens. That was going ashore and coming back when and if you felt like it, because there was no saying when you was going to get more leave at that particular time. We was laying in Alexandra Harbour at that time, I remember this.
Still aboard the Arethusa?
Aboard the Arethusa, yes.
What does gens mean?
General leave.
Why did you cheer when you heard this war had been declared? Were people pleased about it or not?
Well, I suppose we've been listening to the wireless and the news with Chamberlain going backwards and forwards, and then there was an episode out in Germany at that time when somebody tried to blow Hitler up or something. And I suppose everybody felt elated, you know, we're going to have a go at last sort of thing, because they'd been working up and working up slowly and gradually. And we'd also, whilst we was in the Spanish waters, we could see the German bombers coming over with their lethal weapons, dropping and experimenting with bombs. That's all we could think of at that time. And when we went to Franco's territory for leave, we used to go ashore and rub shoulders with the German airmen in different cafes and whatever.
How did you get on with them?
Myself, personally, I didn't speak to them, but members of the crew, you could hear, was spoken, they would speak about it in the mess the next day, you know.
What were
they? They'd ask how to get on and run ashore and that. Oh, I met a couple of German Luftwaffe officers and what have you, and they'd be talking. And
what would they say about them?
About what?
What would they say about the Germans ashore?
Oh, just probably talking about life in Germany at that time, because in the service, in the Navy anyway, you're not allowed to dabble with politics whatsoever, and so you couldn't converse over politics really.
Did they seem to like the Germans or not, that they came across?
Well, I don't really know. It was probably just a way of making conversation with them, because the Spanish couldn't speak a lot of English at that time. But some of the Germans, what I can gather from what some of the messmates said, they could understand the Germans better. They could, more educated probably than the Spanish as regards speaking English.
Did you and your shipmates in the Arethusa feel confident about beating the Germans when war was declared or not?
Well, we knew we had a great fleet out in the Mediterranean at that time. Capital ships, battleships, aircraft carriers. And I think we felt very confident. Very confident.
So when the setbacks came early in the war, did that take you by surprise or not?
Well, it did. Especially when they the Germans got into Scapa Flow and just cast loose amongst our fleet. I thought that was a marvellous bit of navigation on that submariner captain's part.
Now, later on in 1940, you went to Norway. What ship were you aboard then?
I was on the Campbell then.
What kind of a ship was she?
Very old, ex World War I destroyer. And before we went to Norway, we was in what we termed as, or the Navy termed as, Sheerness Striking Force, which was old, a lot of V&W class destroyers. There was the Wishart, the Vian, or the Vivian, Wishart, and the Campbell isn't actually a V&W class, but it certainly is a very old destroyer.
Was she comfortable to be aboard or not?
No. If we got a heavy sea, the mess deck would be flooded. Along the mess decks, you see, you've got your, down the port and starboard side, up in the bows, of course, you've got these mess tables that hang on steel hooks. They have to be slung up overhead while you got rid of all the water when the seas calm down, naturally. And believe it or not, there was a coal fire, what you called a little steel bogey on the mess deck, with a chimney stack going up, through the decade.
Was the Campbell the only ship you came across that you served on that had that arrangement?
The only one. Very old. But she'd done a good job. We were proud of our little old ship. Yeah.
Was it a happy crew aboard the Campbell? Or
very,
not?
Very happy. Compact, but happy. You're like a family, you know. Everybody knows everybody on a small ship. And it was a very good ship, as a company.
When did you first hear that you were going to Norway?
Oh, dear. I suppose it was down Sheerness. I suppose 12 months. Running backwards and forwards with one of the Erebus, a monitor. Big flat-bottomed old monitor. We used to run over to Bordeaux. It took a week before we got her over there, mind you. She had big 15-inch guns, one turret. Just one turret stuck up in the air. And I remember it was our turn to escort her. And I think the first night, she got wrapped round the boom. We had a terrific big boom, you know, from Sheerness right across the south end. And she got wrapped round that. Mind you, she was only doing 5 knots, which was very slow. So that cancelled that night out. Then another night, it was cancelled because the weather wasn't all that good. But when we finally did get over to Bordeaux and she bombarded inland, I think it took about 3 hours to get her over there. Just laid offshore and we patrolled round and kept the Aztecs going for the submarines. Well, she'd done her job lobbing the shells inland. What the target was, I haven't got a clue.
This was the Erebus, was it?
Erebus, yes.
Can you describe what job the Campbell did at Norway?
We was evacuating the Legionnaire. It's supposed to have been a crack regiment, Legionnaire, consisting of Legionnaires, ski troops. That's what they were, really, ski troops.
These were French troops, were they?
Legionnaires, yes. And I struck up conversation with a chap who happened to come from London, who was a Cockney. He was a right character, he was. I think he'd committed a few crimes and hidden away into the Legion itself. And they brought this German's head on board in a sack. And playing football with it on the upper deck. And I remember the captain with his megaphone told him to get rid of it over the side. He said, if you want it to get rid of that head, you come down and you do it. He wouldn't budge. Mind you, they was well topped up with wine because they had round water bottles, not like our military ones, round ones, full of wine. Plus the St Bernard dogs. I think it was about a dozen St Bernard dogs we had on board.
Whereabouts was it that you did this evacuation from?
Well, there was Trondheim, Harstad. That's two places I can recall. Trondheim and Harstad, way up inland in the fjords and that.
And did you visit both Trondheim and Harstad?
Never went ashore, but the ship was there. And that's where we done most of the evacuating from.
So this was a German soldier's head that they'd...
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. They was telling us the Germans were dropping out of the skies dressed as women, as parsons with long black cloaks. But directly they landed, got shot at their parachute, stripped themselves of their gear. They was fully armed to the teeth. automatic pistols, no doubt, and these, what they call them, Molotov hand grenades, sort of thing.
How many of them could speak English, of these legionnaires?
Oh, I suppose about six out of the whole regiment or whatever we had on board, you know.
So were they of all different nationalities?
All sorts, yes. It was all sorts.
Yeah. Did they seem a tough lot or not?
Oh, they was hard. They was hard and tough. You could see they'd been in war before and different battles, probably in the desert somewhere with the Arabs or something like this. But they was used to it. Hardy.
Did any of them seem to be wounded?
No. Exhaustion more than anything. They was really tuckered out. They appear to have raided a nappy ashore there. They came on board with some, not all of them, but some of them had their arms full of paper bags, which we assume was food, etc. And they didn't seem very keen on eating it at that time. They more or less wanted to rest and just lay down where they could. A lot of them got round the funnels where it's warmer. You've got the heat coming through from the funnels.
Was it very cold?
Well, to us, yes, but probably to them, being coming down from the Alps or Rockies or whatever it is up there in the fjords, it could have been chilly for them.
Was the ship very overcrowded?
Oh, it's very, very crowded, yeah.
So about how many did you take aboard?
I think we've got 500 or 600 on board there. The mess decks was full, the forecastle was full, all the upper deck was full up. Some of the officers, I think, went down the aft to the wardroom, probably. Just laid down wherever they could, you know.
Did you attract the attention of the German Air Force?
At this particular time, no. Why, I don't know, because we never tied up alongside the jetty. The ship just pulled in to the jetty. There was no wires going from the shore to the ship, and none from the ship to shore. So if had there been an air raid, we'd have just pushed off straight away and gone steaming around the fjord or something like that to make the target harder for them to bomb. Incidentally, it was, I believe, their summertime, because as we know, they have 6 months of darkness and 6 months of lightness. So about 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 a.m. in our time, it just came down a little dull, and after a few hours it was back broad daylight again.
What were your own duties aboard the HMS Campbell?
Well, we was at action stations nearly all the time, and I had my own on the port bridge, side of the bridge, flag deck, a Maxim machine gun behind splinter proof mattresses, which was thick reinforced mattresses.
How many ships were with you?
Well, I can only remember us and the Wishart. I can't remember any others at this particular time, anyway.
Was the Wishart also embarking legionnaires?
I don't know. Could have been legionnaires, it could have been some other type, it could have been British troops. I'm not sure. But I know we had all legionnaires on our ship at that time.
How did the legionnaires reach your ship?
On foot, they'd have marched from wherever they were down to the docks.
But did they cross by small boats to the...
No, they was already on the jetty waiting for us, you know. Not disorganised or nothing, just standing there and waiting for us to pull alongside, and they'd just scramble on board over the guardrail.
What did their uniforms look like?
Like a legionnaire's uniform, with the steel helmet, of course, not the sun hat, what they usually wear out in the desert. The colour, I suppose it was a greeny grey. And of course their rifles was very long rifles and a near enough 18 inch or 2 inch blade, bayonet, you know, on the end.
And how many evacuations did you take part in at Norway? Just the one?
I think we went back about 3 times.
Between Britain and Norway?
No, we was running these over to, I think it was a hospital ship. I believe it's called the Seven Sisters, I'm not sure. It's like a shuttle service, you know. Probably the water being so shallow at that time, at that place, the big ship couldn't get alongside the jetty, so she just laid at anchor, and we were shuttling them backwards and forwards. About three goes, I suppose, we had at that.
Three lots of Legionnaires, was there?
Mm-hmm.
Did the seamen tease the troops about being evacuated, about having to be evacuated?
No, I don't think so. I think they'd have been a bit of a punch up, I think, if words to that. appertains to that, I think it might have been a bit of a punch up, because these Legionnaires were real toughens, there's no doubt about it. And I'm not very big, and the majority of the crew weren't very big either. But they were very amiable, got on very well with them. I thought so, anyway.
Now, later on in the war, I think you were on Russian convoys.
Yes.
Where did you sail from, and on what ship?
I was on the Chitral. Now, I'm not too sure at this point. I think it was Greenock or Ross. It was up in Scotland, I know.
What kind of a ship was the Chitral?
Our merchant cruiser, or AMC, known as.
What kind of armaments did she have?
6-inch guns. That's 3 down the port, 3 down the starboard side, and 3 4-inch AA guns. A couple of Bofors, yeah, I think there's a Bofor each side.
How many convoys did you do to Russia?
I only done one myself.
And
I believe the ship went up there before I joined her on one occasion. You know, you get the rumour on the ship, and they said, "Oh, you didn't catch the first one up, did you?" I said, "No, but I'm catching this one up." You know.
Was it summer or winter that you went?
I think it was probably the latter end of winter. Yeah. Latter end of winter, I think it was.
So it was dark most of the time, was it?
Yes, we did get the darkness up there at that time, yeah.
What was the size of the convoy?
The size of the convoy?
Yes.
About 15 or 16 ships.
And what kind of an escort did the convoy have?
Oh, there was all sorts. Cruisers, escort, corvettes, destroyers, and I believe there was one capital ship, but don't ask me what name, I couldn't tell you what it was. It could have been the Barham or the Warspite or one of them capital ships.
Do you know which year this was?
Oh, no.
And
no, that I couldn't pinpoint the year, no.
Whereabouts on in the convoy with the Chitral? Oh, just